CliffCentral.com.
I keep telling everybody, I'm not just a pretty girl, but you know, they just take advantage. What can I do? All right, let me quickly let you know about Touch Base Pro. You can sign up to our daily newsletter on CliffCentral.com. We've got daily uptakes on the highlights that we come up with, jokes, funny news stuff, things you need to know, you know, all that stuff. Click sign up on the homepage, fill the form in, and enjoy. You can find it all on CliffCentral.com. You can sign up on the top right of the page. And if you want to know more about TouchBase Pro, there's info there as well. Also, Auto Central. You can gear up for all things cars, bikes, 4x4s, and more on Auto Central. It's powered by Auto Trader. George Meany, Tyron Woods, and Chad Lookoff will bring you an expert motoring infotainment show every Monday from 10 to 11. You can download the podcasts now on cliffcentral.com. There's lots of reasons to go visit our website today. Always, pretty much any given day, you'll find something that's interesting to you. A little bit later on, we'll speak to Penina Fenster, who's the editor of Glamour South Africa. She was also one of the judges at the South African Style Awards on Sunday night, which Sia was at.
The fancy Style Awards.
Yeah, and Penina, really, she's been on the scene in terms of magazines. She's been a writer. She's been an editor. She's been on the fashion scene for a long time. She pretty much brought Marie Claire to South Africa. And she's a doyenne of that part of the South African entertainment industry. And I think she's one of the most interesting people in the country when it comes to observing all these trends and seeing what's going on and being able to tell you what is and isn't fashionable. So we speak to her after 8 o'clock this morning. First things first, Mubs, what's happening?
All right, so the current deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, has announced his leadership team, of course. And among them is Naledi Pandor, slated to be his deputy president. Huh. Ramaphosa has been strategic in selecting his slate. Pandor's selection is seen as a counter to Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma's appeal among female voters. His selection of KZN ANC chairperson Senzo Mqunu as secretary general will help secure a section of the critical KZN vote. And then ANC Gauteng chairperson Paul Mashatile, chosen to be his treasurer general, cements the consistent support he has received from the province, which has also been outspoken in its opposition to state capture. And then the current secretary general, Gwede Mantashe, selected as chairperson, rounds off Ramaphosa's top six.
All right. Well, I mean, it's an interesting slate, but people are saying he shouldn't have said who he's going to bring with him, which I don't understand. I kind of like to know what I'm voting for, don't you?
I think it is essential to know what you're voting
for. Otherwise, you know they're going
to
be...
Or to know who you're voting for.
They're going to be cooking the books behind the scenes.
Now, the ANC's national executive team has come under fire from this pro-Cyril Ramaphosa group in KZN.
Yeah.
The group says that the NEC has failed to provide leadership as well as solving the political crisis in the province. This is the same group that also applied for the 2015 ANC provincial conference to be nullified by the Pietermaritzburg High Court. They now want the court to grant them an execution order forcing the PEC to vacate the party's provincial offices immediately.
Sounds like hell.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of work and sleepless nights and just exhausting.
Being in the ANC at the moment must be just awful. Imagine all the tension and the anxiety and the you might be in, you might be out. If you're out, you really have nothing else you can do. You're pretty much on the street. If you're in, oh, you can make a ton of money.
And then, of course, the ANC reprimanded Ramaphosa over the announcement of his top six because, I mean, come on, Cyril, this is not how we do things. Like, why are you making announcements when you could just leave the people in the dark? Stop it. Stop it now. Okay. So we've spoken a lot about the likes of Henry von Breda. This Jason Roderick case is also in the news. Let us not forget about Mark Zinde.
Yes, Hope Zinde's son.
Hope Zinde's son, who is now himself also back in the news. And this is because the Weskopies Psychiatric Hospital in Pretoria has for the second time declared the accused fit to stand trial after he spent almost 3 months at the institution under mental observation. Zinde is accused of killing his TV personality mother, Hope Zinde, and he appeared briefly in the High Court in Pretoria yesterday. Now, his legal representative, Francois Hubert, says that they are not happy with the report, and they have asked the court to have Zinde re-examined, this time by an independent psychiatrist at the hospital unit of the José Mampuru Correctional Center, where the accused is being held. Hmm. He is being charged with murder, drug possession, assault, and attempted murder. The 24-year-old is accused of killing his 50-year-old mother. Hope Zinde is a former SABC board member, journalist, as well as TV news anchor. He was subsequently released on 10,000 rand bail back in September, but then he was rearrested in November for allegedly attacking his father.
Sounds like a class kid.
Dr. Lebohang Manoto at his Walkerville home south of Johannesburg.
This is the kind of child you really, you just send them straight to like whichever military in the world will have them. If it's the Afghan military, or you just send them away. Get the hell rid of them as quickly as you can. There are such things as bad children. There really are.
Oh, yeah. Evidently
straight
as
to
well.
Hell. I mean, this kid, he's attacking his father, then he attacks and kills his mother. There aren't any other suspects. It's the same as the Henry van Breda thing. There are just bad people in this world. Henry and Mark Zinde, just send them away. These are not people going to fit in with the rest of us. I don't go around, if I had a bad day, I don't go around assaulting people or shooting them dead, hacking them with an axe. Neither should you, and if you don't, good, we can live together in peace and harmony on earth. Those of us who can't, the ones who can't behave, just put them in a bus and drive them over the edge of a cliff into the sea. We don't need these people, right?
Well, I'll tell you who else you can add to that bus. Danish citizen and former Bloemfontein gun
yes.
dealer, Peter Frederiksen.
This is the guy who cut off all the clitorises, right?
Yes, Gareth, yes.
Ugh.
So
you don't like him, Ben.
No, I hate this guy. He should be set on fire.
Yesterday, he was found guilty on most of the 38 charges that he was facing in the Bloemfontein High Court. He made headlines back in September of 2015 when police found cut-off clitorises stored in a freezer inside his townhouse in Bloemfontein.
That's some kind of thing to keep in the freezer.
Jeepers.
What a sicko.
Now, the judge found Frederiksen guilty on a charge of rape, possession and production of child pornography, assault, as well as fraud. He was also found guilty on account of conspiracy to commit murder, influencing a state witness, and various contraventions of the Firearms Control Act. He pleaded not guilty to all of the charges. The judge did acquit Frederiksen on another rape charge concerning his late wife, Tidi, who was gunned down in Lesotho while he was an awaiting trial prisoner. Hmm. Interestingly, the judge held that the National Health Act does not make the removal of human tissue, like clitorises, without the person's permission illegal.
Really?
Did you know that? You can remove someone's tissue and it's not considered illegal under the National Health Act? Or at least this is what this judge ruled?
See? You don't need government.
Without their permission.
Oh.
Ben, I could hack off your ear right now and that's okay. What?
But that's a hate crime against me.
I don't understand.
Maybe it applies to dead people? I don't know.
So all these women were dead?
I think so.
No, but it speaks about a person's permission.
Well, if you give permission, yeah. If Ben says to you can hack my ear off, you say, okay,
well,
cool.
Remember that case in Europe a few years back?
You can eat people.
The guy was like, I want to eat someone. Is anyone keen? And the guy's like, yeah, eat me. I mean, I'm all in.
Yep.
Not eat my ass, like eat me, as in consume me as a meal.
I think a lot of people would much rather have their asses eaten, but you know.
Golly, that is so unladylike.
Wow.
Yes, how terribly unladylike. Really?
What a crass thing to say.
I mean, awful. I'm so disappointed in you.
My ass is blow the fuck out.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, I suppose if you give permission, no reason why someone can't cut off a piece of you.
Oh.
Think about this. You go for a tattoo.
Yeah.
You're asking someone to repeatedly inject you with ink. There are some of these tattoo artists who do that scarring stuff. You know the scarring where they scar a pattern into you? Some people like that, and then the scar sort of semi-heals, but you have these sort of rivulets and these, what would you call them? Indentations.
Like some
raised parts of the skin.
Aborigines or something do.
Yeah. People do scarring. So if you go to someone and you say, I want you to create a scarring pattern on my back that makes me look like a dragon, you're giving them permission to cut your tissue up, of course.
Yeah, but they're also offering a service that you pay for.
Yeah, so maybe this guy was saying
so they're service providers.
I mean, there are clitoridectomies are conducted in places like Somalia and Ethiopia and the Sudan. Of course, we don't know how voluntary they are because it comes under that banner of my religion or my culture, which people regard as being sacred. You know, if someone's religion or culture means that they have to have their clitoris chopped off, suddenly it's socially acceptable. It wouldn't normally be. You know, it's the same way as I always get into trouble when I say, oh, you know, a woman should be allowed to choose whether or not she wears a burqa or an abaya or a niqab or any of those things. People say, oh, but how, you have no say in this. It's not your culture. Well, I'm allowed to objectively look at it from the outside and say a woman should be able to choose. There's nothing controversial about that.
I suppose it's the same as circumcision.
Yep.
I mean, you're hacking.
Exactly the same.
You're hacking off.
Yep.
Bits of tissue.
Correct.
And it's completely legal with the parents' consent.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the parents. That's the thing that bothers me about it.
The baby certainly
your
doesn't
kid
know.
Kid doesn't
what
get a chance to have a say. The parents go, "Oh, you're going to do that? Okay, I give permission." Know what I mean? Mm. Not a very clear area, if you ask me. It's a little bit in the gray. Those are not the sort of things that you want to enter into debates with some people on because they don't take very kindly to it. How dare you have an opinion on my culture, on my religion?
My pinache.
No, on my penis. Well, how about I give an opinion on what you're about to do to your child without their consent? Is that a problem? Oh, you bet you, because you're not the parent.
Yes.
Well, what kind of a parent are you if the first thing you think is, let's take a knife to this perfect little thing?
Yeah, but Gareth, if you're not a parent, you don't get to have a say in parent world.
Well, guess what? I'm going to say what I want anyway. You can't stop me. You got no hope in doing that.
Parent world.
And I don't care if I upset your culture or your religion or anything else, because maybe your religion and your culture is backward. Just maybe. And maybe it was fine 1,000 or 5,000 years ago. When there was a good reason for it, or you were stultified and stupefied by what you believed to be burning bushes and talking snakes and eight-headed gods. But how about now, when we know that that's absolute nonsense, you reevaluate that culture and you decide how much of it's really worth carrying through to the 21st century because it makes you sound stupid. Just saying.
Oh, hey, since we're on that note of reevaluating culture, do you want to know who is? It's the Chabola Church of International Ministries.
Chabola.
That's
Chabola.
A hell of a name.
Chabola is the Tswana word which means?
To drink.
Yeah, bo.
Chabola.
Yeah. This is my favorite story right now. This is a church which allows and even encourages members of the congregation to drink alcohol during a church service.
Yeah.
So you're basically car barring, but you can just bring it in.
Listen, this is my type of church. We know, especially here in South Africa, that we have a whole colorful, you know, group of churches.
Let's call it what it is, a cottage industry of places that are willing to take advantage of the credulous.
Look, but I think this just takes the cake. Oh. Won't you have to admit that? At Chabola, baptisms are performed using the preferred alcoholic drink of the person who shall be baptized.
So you can rock up and go, strawberry lips, please, Pastor.
That's it. And that is what you...
Douse me in peach schnapps.
Absolutely. On top of that, alcohol is consumed during sermons with bottles of beer or whiskey or wine that is anointed by the church's founder and resident bishop, Tsetse Makiti. Now, as crazy as a combination of alcohol and God worship may sound, Makiti actually has a very good reason for relying on it. You know, he says that this is how he wants to attract more people to come to his church. He claims that the church's mission is to welcome drinkers who have been rejected by traditional churches, and he provides a safe space to drink and also worship God. Hey, guys.
And that is the choir mistress at that church.
Oh, is it?
So, does he sell the alcohol?
Oh, yes. By the way, the church's actual venue is a tavern.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
This is very good.
Bishop Makiti founded his church just 2 months ago, but it already has over 500 members.
And we think people in this country will ever even understand the tax code.
Mm-mm.
I mean, if you're willing to go to a bar and you can be bullshitted into believing that the bar is a church, we really do have a nation of people who deserve to be taken advantage of by Jacob Zuma. Mm.
You see, like, this makes sense to me because...
Oh, it does?
No. This makes sense to me. This guy is a businessman. He's looking to make money. I'm not holding anything against him for that. Then you have to consider that, you know, a lot of people who, for example, spend Saturday night at the tavern. And then you wake up on Sunday and you're like, what? I'm in church as well? Look at me killing two birds with one stone.
Right.
Carry on, Pastor. Carry on. Me, I'll just fix my hangover here with a cold one.
But as liberal as they may be, Mabale Moloi, you are not invited to the church, though.
Oh. Well.
For now, it's currently all male.
Whoa.
But Bishop Makiti says he plans to be more inclusive in the future. He says, though, women are also not allowed because we have men who are drinking and we cannot have instances where some of them start troubling women. We will only allow women at a later stage once our congregants have been well prepared. So if you're interested... The church is they currently meet at Freddy's Tavern in Orange Farm, the south part of Joburg, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m.
All right.
Okay.
Halula, 11 till 3.
11 till 3, wow. Yes.
Yes.
Of course, it can't start earlier.
It's a hell of a sermon.
Yeah. I mean, if a sermon that long, I'd also want to drink through it.
You're drinking through. I mean, 11 to 3. Ben, how long is the longest kind of football match? Think about how long it takes you to get to the stadium.
Yeah, 120 minutes plus penalties.
Yeah, but you get to the stadium, you have to have something to drink before, you maybe stay afterwards. You know, maybe there's an after party. Some people do that.
After party.
They go to a nearby tavern if their team won, you know.
But can you imagine like the pastor saying, let us drink. Heavenly Father, we'll start with a black label.
Yeah.
We shall move through to the 100 Pipers. It's been a tough month. Oh, please give us strength in the donations that we can move to Red Label. And one day, brothers, wash our hands with Johnny Platinum. Amen.
Amen.
Sharabosh.
The pastor, does he drink through his sermon as well?
We don't know that just yet.
Okay.
But it's all anointed. They pray for the alcohol before they drink it in church. So this seems like a great old time.
Look, you've got to anoint that kind of thing. You know, that whole the blood of Christ thing. That's where it comes from. You've got to, you can't just have alcohol. You've got to have anointed alcohol.
But it'd be pretty smart if like, and this week's sermon is sponsored by Corona. It is summer after all. Anyone grabs your holy limes and you can just slot them into the top of the bottle.
Yeah, I hear this.
Seems like you want to work for Khabula, actually, Ben.
Ben would be great. Ben could recruit. Are you kidding? It's this sounds good. And I don't see any reason why you shouldn't want to join this church. I mean, how's it any better or worse than any of the other ones? Right?
Well, I mean, would you rather drink petrol or would you rather drink a cold beer? Yeah.
Definitely. The cold beer is preferable to petrol.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
All right, well, I'm on board. This may be the conversion I was looking for. All right, a couple of messages coming through. Somebody says, Mabale, it says you store without permission, not take without permission when it comes to tissue.
Store.
Yeah, you can store tissue without permission. So in other words, we don't know how he obtained these female genitals, but he stored them, and he didn't need permission to store them.
Well, I'm guessing he didn't ask them, and they're like, yeah, sure, here you go.
But how do you get to the storing if you don't hack them off?
Well, this is what they've got to discover in the case, right, in the court, in the trial. Sure. I saw a little bit of that Henry von Bredau thing, then I saw a bit of that, who's that dude in PE who... Chris Panayiotou. And then it's just that there are these people in society, hey, that, wow, they're some badass people.
Well, yesterday the von Bredau case continued in court.
What do we got?
Ooh, so many holes in the entire story. So just based off yesterday, it's now also been revealed that Henry actually sat smoking in the kitchen while he waited for emergency services rather than actually trying to help his family.
That's a good point, because he was just sitting there going, oh, well, they're dead.
Yeah, they were gurgling blood. Just
light a little cigarette
He would take every towel in the house to maybe stop the wounds or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, he was having a ciggy in the kitchen.
So prosecutor Susan Galloway also said that the scrapes on Henry's back and a bump on his head, get this, which he claimed were from a fall down the stairs, were actually consistent with his sister's Marley's defensive wounds. So she says that when you attacked Marley, she defended herself. So the bump on your head is from a blunt force injury, possibly a fist. And Marley had evidence on her right hand from a fist fight.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So she was trying to fight off this son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Also adding
what
that...
What a horrible family. I mean, what a horrible person Henry von Bredau is. To do this to your family.
Mm.
It's just...
Sick man.
How much do you have to hate them?
And then you sit there while they... You heard Karen Morn the other day telling us about how they were gurgling the blood in their throats, and this guy was sitting having a cigarette at the coffee table downstairs.
Yeah.
Yo.
So Susan Galloway also adds that it was strange that Henry claimed that he was unconscious for almost 3 hours, but failed to mention that to the doctor he saw that evening. So later, she also asked a question that had von Bredau looking very uncomfortable, which is, how could Rudy, who was brutally attacked with an axe that delivered several blows to the head, manage to roll up a duvet and place it over a knife? So the state alleges that Rudy had died quickly from the attack, but the defense has him staying alive for some time after, a claim that puts him in place to push a knife under a bed, drag a duvet, and move himself off the bed.
Try doing that when you get chopped into the head with an axe. I don't think it's possible.
Mm.
So, in other words, this guy's falling apart at the
properly
at the stand.
Everything that he said or he alleges is just like not holding up at all. Here's another interesting thing. In the call that Henry made to emergency services, he mentioned that his sister, let me just find the exact specifications here, that his sister could possibly still be alive. But then they now asked him, well, why wouldn't you have mentioned Rudy, who he says that Rudy was gurgling and making violent movements after the attack? Why wouldn't you also mention that in the phone call? That means you sort of knew that Rudy was done and dead. Because you killed him yourself.
You made sure, you didn't want him to make it.
Mm. She says, you took the trouble of telling them that your sister was still alive, but make no mention of brother Rudy, whom you now claim was gurgling and moving around violently from the injury. Oh, Henry, I think you're done now.
What a horrible man.
Yeah. Look, and
the fact this keeps dragging on is starting to make the justice system look a bit pedestrian. I mean, what else do we want other than saying...
I guess they have to cover all of their bases.
Yeah, I get that. But the story had holes in it like US jocks right from the start. It really did.
See, Ben, unfortunately, there's this principle of beyond a reasonable doubt, which means that if any reasonable person has any doubt, you can't convict someone of a criminal offense.
Yeah, I get that.
And so I know it's annoying because to us it's such an obvious thing, right? And
from
there's no
the
one
beginning.
Else. They haven't arrested some random dude who's walking around Stellenbosch. There's no one else. They haven't got any other suspects.
And he's making us whites look so bad on the stand. Every single day, as a white, I look at this and go, oh.
Please explain how.
No, but that's not fair, because if he makes white people feel a certain way, then imagine how black people feel about Jacob Zuma. That's not fair, Ben.
Gareth, that's better.
Gareth, I can't feel bad about everybody. I'm talking about myself here.
I don't have any relation to Henry Van Breda.
I don't. I don't know if I've let him with it.
When someone brings up Henry Van Breda, I don't go, ooh, I better be uncomfortable because I'm white.
No, I mean, I don't either. But people are saying, typical whites, whenever something goes bad, they always blame a black intruder, just like Oscar as well. I mean, like, screw you guys, making whites, I mean...
Oh, this is such a good talking point that we're going into.
I don't think about
it. No, there are moments where I am genuinely embarrassed of some of the dumb shit that women do. And then I look around and I see, this is why. This is why they treat us like this.
This is why we have a bad rep.
Because you do dumb shit like this.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be responsible for all that.
No. I understand what Ben is saying. There are moments where I feel like, no, stop it, woman, stop it.
But if you ever go on, if you got some time of the day and you see what's trending on this country of ours, you go on to like the Van Breda, you go through the top tweets, and you just see the tweets going, see the whites. They just can't take responsibility. The guy hacked his family, he's so evil, this is the whites. And there's always a black intruder. The whites can't just own up.
Yeah, but I mean,
when in doubt, black intruder. See, the whites are at it again.
No, but on the opposite side of the fence, Ben, I mean, if you go to any of these news networks and their comment sections, like anything that's politics related, you'll see a whole bunch of white people saying, yeah, you see, this is what happens when we let them take over. Like, we're all saying these things about each other.
It wasn't like this back in the day.
We're all saying these things about each other across the fence.
I just want to, like, you know, just limit the damage a little bit here. And this guy's not helping.
Oh, Ben.
Well, Henry Van Breda has got to be one of the most horrible people. He makes Oscar look good.
Sure.
So mild.
Yes,
right?
He really does, yeah.
Because now the...
Everybody was so full of hatred for Oscar.
Mm-mm.
Remember, I was furious. I mean, we were all furious.
Sure.
Watching that trial, we were like, oh, stop with the crying. Right now, you would wish for Henry Van Breda to just shed one tear so you could see that he was human. He's a monster. He didn't even cry once.
No, he'll be good in prison, though. This is another thing he must also accept. I think he'll be all right.
What do you mean?
The guy's not shed a tear after massacring his family. I think he'll be okay. I think prison's not exactly going to keep him up at night.
You see, and the more we hear more these details... it just reveals how creepy and weird he is. Really, so you kill your entire family, then you casually stand there puffing away like, yeah, that is good.
Can I just say the blanket word alleged for everything? Right. If we say it once every half hour, we're not going to get sued.
Yeah.
So Kelly wants to hop in with something on WhatsApp this morning. She says, you're missing the point, Gareth. It's not illegal without the person's permission. This makes mutilation of persons for muti okay. Don't be silly. Scary. Kelly, I kind of have moved on. I'm now thinking about Henry Van Breda. So, you know, my brain is, I'm not very smart, so I have to take a lot of time to think things through. I've moved on to part two now. How's the brown rice eating plan going? It's going fine. I started again yesterday. Took a break over the weekend, but it's coming along. Carlos says, why didn't Henry finish Marley off if she was unconscious and he knew she was still alive?
He got bored.
Bored?
He got bored. He went for a cigarette and he was watching Star Trek again because it was on catch up.
They had rented it overnight. So
he's like, I'll get back to it.
Or maybe, you know, he was, I don't know, he got a little bit exhausted as well.
Yeah, I mean, swinging that axe must take its toll.
He killed his father, big strong guy. He killed his brother, big strong guy.
Allegedly.
His mother, allegedly. Maybe by the time he got to Madley, he was, you know, he was like, "Ooh, that was a tough set."
have you seen how like a cat will play with a little mouse or something? And then after they're like, "Ugh, I'm over this actually." And they just leave it.
I see, just to make corruption, a daily occurrence, I see Commissioner Patlani and the police, 5 billion rand in contracts allegedly paid to a company accused of buying him cars. 5 billion. How many cars you could buy for 5 billion rand?
I don't know, Ben.
Yes.
These people make me sick. And I'm saying these people, and I don't mind saying these people, because as a white, if you say that, apparently you're in shit.
You.
But seriously, these government people, they are the cancer of this world.
Angelina Jolie, she's gone very quiet. Have you noticed?
Is this since the divorce with Brad?
She's been busy, you know, looking after those kids because there's so many of them.
Mm. That's a full-time job in and of itself.
She's apparently looking chic and fab. She wore something to the Hollywood Film Awards on Monday.
Those words got coming out talking. Of your mouth.
I'm reading from the article. You really think I would talk like that?
Chic and fab. Yes, she is.
No, really.
I'm surprised she actually, you know, she hasn't been
in the news.
At a podium at the United Nations for women speaking out on Harvey Weinstein and women's rights or something.
Yep.
Okay, well, speaking of Harvey Weinstein.
But wait, there's more.
The New Yorker.
Yes.
Have come out with some explosive new information.
Tell us.
About some of the questionable behavior that Weinstein was actually getting up to since fall of 2016.
Yeah.
When apparently Weinstein set out to suppress the allegations that he had sexually harassed or assaulted numerous women. So this guy, allegedly, began...
My new favorite word.
Well, you know, you've got to cover your ass. He began to hire private security agencies to collect information on the women and the journalists who were trying to expose these allegations. And according to dozens of pages of documents and seven people directly involved in this effort, the firms that Weinstein hired included Kroll, which is one of the world's largest corporate intelligence companies. Sure. Then there's Black Cube. They're an enterprise run largely by former officers of Mossad and other Israeli intelligence agencies.
So basically, he employed the military arm of Bell Pottinger, is what this is getting.
That's horrendous. What a nasty man this is.
Two private investigators from Black Cube used false identities and met with the actress Rose McGowan, who eventually publicly accused Weinstein of rape. The reason that they met with her was to extract information from her. Mm. Now, one of the investigators pretended to be a women's rights advocate and secretly recorded at least 4 meetings with Rose McGowan. The same operative, using a different false identity and implying that she had an allegation against Weinstein, met twice with a journalist to find out which women were talking to the press. So this guy, since 2016,
trying to cover his tracks,
has been trying to cover his tracks. Yes.
So when people say, well, why are you only coming out now with this information? Now we know why. Because these people are being hounded by these like ex-military operative people. And it's difficult because they've been investigated.
Doesn't this make him even more creepy?
It's like a nice horrible.
Definitely, definitely.
Again, Oscar, not a bad guy.
I never thought we'd get to that.
My comparisons with these creep shows. Wow.
And then in other cases, the investigative effort was run through Weinstein's lawyers.
But remember, this happened here in this country.
When?
The president and Kwesi. He tried to have her discredited, remember?
Sure. Mm.
So there's a pattern here, and this is why I keep saying we don't need to look at Harvey Weinstein and be outraged. We should have been outraged a long time ago right here on home soil. Because we've got a man in charge of the country. Not in charge of Hollywood. He's not some, you know, fantasy movie director. Our guy is actually the guy at the controls.
Yeah, but they're both douches, Gareth.
Of course they are, but what I'm saying is there's complete parallel here. All the things that we're so disgusted in Harvey Weinstein doing, we should be equally disgusted in our president having done. Harvey Weinstein didn't necessarily, because they haven't brought charges of rape, but he was a molester. He was a sex pest. So our president was found not guilty of rape. But we know he's a sex pest. We've heard innumerable stories from people that are just the same as Harvey Weinstein. And when these women speak up, he goes after them personally. He uses state intelligence to go after them. He uses his friends in high places to go after them. I mean, that's exactly the same as Harvey Weinstein does. Mm. It's terrible. You got to read Reedy Tlavi's new book to understand how sick how despicable the behavior of the president of the Republic of South Africa has been. We talk about misogyny, and we talk about sexism, we talk about racism. I mean, this man is doing more to damage race relations than the right wing could ever do, because he's giving real racists all the fodder they need to say, oh, well, look at this guy, right? And he's giving women who are trying their best to fight gender inequality, sexual harassment, he's giving them all the ammo they need to be able to say, well, look at men. Do you understand? I mean, it's just an embarrassment. And he's the president. He's not some dude in private enterprise who we can just have fired from his job. This is the president of the republic. Makes me sad. Let's turn our attention to Cardi B.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She put out this very important wisdom this morning. Early this morning. Take a listen to this. All right?
Fuck with me. You know, a lot of bitches show me love. A lot of bitches show me love. And I love my bitches. I love me a lot of you bitches. But a lot of bitches is mad, though. A lot of bitches is mad. And I be seeing it. But you want to know something, bitch? Don't be a why her and not me type of bitch. Be a how can I get next to that bitch type of bitch. Be a shit, well, if she could do it, I could do it too type of bitch. Don't be a oh, why that ratchet ass bitch? Because bitch, because God chose me, bitch. I don't fucking know why. And sometimes I don't know how. But I'm here though, bitch. The fuck? Figure it out. Figured it the fuck out. Fuck, I figured it out, bitch. Shit. A lot of bitches fuck with me. You know, a lot of bitches show me love.
All right, you got it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
Yes.
Let's talk about this.
Yes, Cardi B.
Let's get into it.
You know, this is the nice thing about living in 2017, and if you are in, you know, that country, like, anything is possible in America. Anything. You can do whatever you want. It's fine.
But do you hear her message? It's like, don't be one of those why her bitches.
Yeah, yeah.
Be one of those I want to get next to her bitches.
Which is a good kind of bitch when you think about it.
Don't be, you know, don't be jealous.
Jealous down is pretty much her whole, that's her manifesto, is jealous down. What do you think of that, Sia? Do you think it was an eloquent way of describing the, you know, the state of bitch politics at the moment?
Bitchinisms?
Yeah.
So eloquent. I've never heard the word bitch used so many times in a sentence. And that just soothing tone and pitch of Cardi's voice makes the delivery of the message more inspiring and powerful. Thank you, Cardi. Thank you.
She's eloquent about it.
Yes.
Right? And she's got a point to make. Well, I mean, it reminds me of one of my favorite rappers of all time, DMX, and his thoughts on bitches. Let's just remind ourselves of his genius. Come on. All right, come on. With us.
Dog, I meet women, discreet women, street women, slash, cocoa puff, sweet women, what? Make you wanna women, but not me. Y'all cats eat off the plate all you want, but not D. I get at these chickens from a distance. The instant they start to catch feelings, I start to steal and they quick, then I'm out just like a thief in the night. I sink my teeth in the bite. You thinking life, I'm thinking more life. What's up tonight? Come on, ma, you know I got a wife. Even though that tight, I ain't gonna jeopardize my life. So what is it you want? What? I gave you gave me. I blaze you, you blaze me.
All right, they cut out all the bitches in that one because that was the PG version, but very nice. Right? Isn't that great? It's a piece of music, that.
I wonder where DMX is these days.
He became a pastor. Mm. So there was more money to be made there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So also, in life, you've got to keep reinventing yourself.
Right, and that's what he's good at.
Yeah.
Does he feature Khabula Church? Is that what you're about to say next?
He the best. Yes, probably. Ben?
Well, there seems to be some shocking new additions to the Kevin Spacey fiasco.
Oh, more of those as well.
Well, hold your stomach for this one. You know he's got a brother, an older brother.
No. I didn't know.
Is that Devin Spacey?
No, it's his older brother makes a living out of being a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Sorry. Oh, no, that's a real job. Okay.
Shame.
Sure. Okay. Oh, God, seriously. Randy Fowler is his name. Because Kevin Spacey Fowler is his real name.
Oh, so no, it's not his taste.
So, anyway, Randy, his brother. Guess what happened to Randy at the age of 14?
Oh, Kevin molested him?
Well, Kevin was the younger brother, so we can rule that one out.
Oh.
Any other guesses?
He molested Kevin.
So, yeah, one last guess. We're all in the right sort of playing field.
So, it is some sort of incest.
Rod Stewart molested both of them.
Right? No. Yeah, you've got the final guess. At the age of 14, what happened to Kevin Spacey's older brother?
He was molested by their father.
Yes, yeah, congratulations. Oh my God. Wins. Kevin Spacey's older brother, age of 14, was raped by his dad.
Oh,
that's horrible.
No.
Yeah. He was saying in a recent interview that when he heard that his brother Kevin had molested a boy at the age of 14, it hit home by his troubled childhood. And their dad was like a proper neo-Nazi sicko guy. He even had a photo with Hitler, which he proudly displayed on his mantelpiece.
Hitler?
So, yeah, there's some levels to this guy, huh?
Jeez.
That sounds like a very awkward way to grow up with a Nazi.
Indeed, Gareth, indeed. So, yeah.
Wow.
These things don't just happen in life. Huh? There's always a backstory.
Jesus.
Well, I saw that, the other day Netflix then said that actually they're completely done with Kevin Spacey. In fact, they're now apparently trying to figure out how to kill off his character on the current season because they don't even want him to like come back to work anymore. Because remember, they were going to let the season come to an end, but apparently they're now saying, actually, we want no association with you whatsoever. You cannot come back, and we need to figure out what to do with your character going forward.
Because God forbid we should produce a show about the most psychopathic nutcase in political history with an actual psychopathic nutcase.
Well,
but how about that for a dad, though? I mean, he was an avid Nazi. He had child pornographic stuff at home.
Oh, wow.
And he took his kids on a holiday to nudist colonies. Got to be weird to... Difficult to grow up as a balanced kid from the back of that, I believe.
Isn't that interesting, too, because... I mean, you almost then can't blame them. A psychologist will tell you that if you're raised by psychopaths, that's the example set for you. Even if your natural inclination is not to be a psychopath, what chance have you got of getting it right when these are your parents?
But you must still be held accountable because then you're continuing the cycle of psychopathic behavior.
Absolutely, but it just seems to me like it's really unfair for these two boys who grew up with this crazy father that they should be hung out to dry and he gets off scot-free and he started all this shit. Right? Oh, it's horrible. Ugh, people are so complicated. Damn, I mean, I almost feel bad for the two of them now. I certainly feel bad for the brother, the Rod Stewart impersonated brother. Whew. All right, a couple of messages that have come in. You want to hear some of them?
Mm.
All right. First of all, Steve says, so funny, I'm addicted. Love your show. Greg says, Gareth, play the proper version of the DMX song, please. This is the white lady who complains to management version. Mm-hmm. Ben, you're touching on something here. When a colored guy starts at work, then I'm also kind of wary if they do dumb shit because I'm like, esh, the coloreds, even though we have nothing to do with each other.
I know. It's hard.
That's weird. I've never felt like that. When white people do stupid stuff, I really don't feel responsible for other white people's behavior. I don't feel responsible for anyone else's behavior. You think I care about Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and Oscar and Henry von Bredow? To me, they're just shit people. I look at everyone as an individual. I don't care what group you belong to.
Cool, but that means absolutely squat nothing to people out there.
Yeah.
I know.
because people.
That's why we're talking about.
Because people interact with we interact with each other in stereotypes and generalizations. This Absolutely. Is why things like men are trash are born.
I know.
So.
I'm not saying that this is true for everyone. I'm just telling you how I see it.
You're probably in the minority because most people don't do that.
Gareth, in the minority?
No, I mean most people interact with each other just on generalizations basis.
If I ever find myself in the majority, I usually try to get out of it. I don't like to be in the majority. It usually means you're wrong. You know, the wisdom of a mob is inversely proportional to its intelligence. That's what they say. So the more people that you find that agree with you, the less likely it is that you're right. Think about that one. I had fun the other day with Vonneboom coming in. I want to do more of the music stuff.
Yeah, they were really great though. Huh? Just
they
cool
were fun.
Guys.
Just chilling, talking, telling stories, getting some music going. See, we must do more of that.
Okay.
Okay? Okay? Okay.
Noted.
Okay.
Can I just say, okay, like so Danny Koppel.
Tomorrow is Koppel. Tomorrow is Jacques Poe, right?
Jacques Poe is coming in to record tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
And then I think we should add like on Friday.
Thursday, Friday, maybe.
Yeah.
One of the two.
We'll do a throwback
on Thursday.
Don't
want to waste time, yeah.
And then we'll add out on Friday.
Yeah, that book of his, sure. Engrossing.
It's juicy.
Yeah, he has a number of sources. And I got to say, like, one of the things that I find really interesting about it is how many people were used by these politicians. They were put into the game to do, you know, to basically spread disinformation. Journalists, I'm talking about. And they were pretty much utilized as tools by the state capture crew. And you can tell, I mean, that, you know, the only story that everybody seems to be talking about at the moment, because we're looking at Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma's campaign. Mm-hmm. So it's this Mazzotti guy, this Italian mobster who sells cigarettes, that he's financing her campaign with dirty money. But there's so much more in this book. I'm so glad he's not backing down. Mm. The guy is like, nah, I'm in it to win it.
See, with a book like that, I don't even think you can read it at your book club. You need a therapy club for something like
Absolutely.
That. You need to read it. You sit down on your therapist's red leather
Absolutely.
Couch to get someone to tell you that, listen, it's okay. The world will be fine. But
you
just have to go through this.
Yeah. On a totally unrelated note, I'm a Star Wars fan, and I can't wait for the new Star Wars movie, which comes out in December.
Wasn't there a
Cannot
new trailer
wait.
That was released?
Yeah, they've just put out a new trailer. I tried to play the last one, and it didn't go well because you could just hear like sound effects. So I'm not going to play that again. But you know this song? They cannot use this in these movies. It belongs to Fox, not to Disney. So they now... Disney need to buy Fox so they can have this music back. Isn't that insane?
Fine print.
Isn't that great?
Wait, they
Some
need-
lawyer is busy slapping himself on the thigh right now, laughing and laughing and laughing.
They need to buy Fox, or they need to buy it from Fox?
Fox won't sell it unless it's part of everything. So Fox are using this to push up their price, so Disney have to pay big money to get this song back.
Yeah, but that's fine. You can make a more contemporary thing. Star Wars is going... If anything's going with the ages at Star Wars,
yeah.
So they can say, okay, cool. Well, we're just going to make a new one.
I think this is great.
Have confidence in your own brand and create something.
But won't you diehard Star Wars fans be upset?
That's like saying to fashionistas, how did you manage to get rid of leg warmers and shoulder pads? Sure, they were apart, but we moved on.
See, even if they are upset, that's after they paid money to go see your movie. So it doesn't matter what their feelings are after the fact. Mm. You've made bank.
It's just like how I moved with Oprah from the show to the network. Okay, that's an analogy.
There
I
we go,
Sia.
There's something
Thank
that you.
You
can relate to.
Thanks.
But if you want to hear this song again, you better hope that Disney buy Fox. Otherwise, it's not going to be part of the movies. All right. In other news, has anybody else noticed that this Meghan Markle, who used to be in Suits, is now like being considered very seriously as Harry's wife.
Yes, but that was always the plan, wasn't it?
I think so.
We are loving it.
Apparently, she's already going to certain lessons so that she can learn to be more royal. She's being trained in all the challenges of how hard, because you know it's so difficult to be royal. Putting on those Nazi uniforms.
It is basically the equivalent of preparing for the Olympics.
Yeah.
That level of training. It's that serious.
But you know the royals have their noses up in the air at Meghan, and it took a while for them to supposedly warm up to her and like her.
Sure.
Yeah, and even for the Queen to approve. White.
Is it because she's not white?
Yeah, it's that.
It's a number of things.
The whites again.
It's that.
Damn the whites. She's divorced.
Also, she's an American.
Yeah.
And we know how the English feel about them.
And her parents are like kind of like not okay in the head. Her mother's a yoga instructor.
Oh, no.
Her dad has some criminal history him.
This is fantastic.
This Harry is such an embarrassment.
And his dad is, and her dad just keeps on like talking to the media and stuff.
Mm.
And of course, she's an actress. Like, what?
Yeah.
Commoner?
Honestly.
I think it's great. Let's bring the royal family down to earth a little bit.
Well, I heard that she's been forced to adopt Princess Margaret's drinking regime for the next 6 months. And only then can she be considered.
If you drink as much as Princess Margaret, you're...
Just remind me what that regime entails again.
Oh, this way. This Meghan, whoever is not going to come out smiling after this.
Princess Margaret would wake up and have like vodka at 9 in the morning.
After this, she's going to be looking like Dame Edna Everidge with the amount of booze she has to put through her system. Oh, Harry's not going to want to marry her after that.
Oh, dear. You didn't get to discuss any of this with Sarah Ferguson when you met her.
No, I was too busy, and she was, I don't know, she was scraping for booze herself.
So, here are some of the things that she needs to be able to do. When Grant Harold, the former butler to Prince Harry, said, "I joined the royal household, it was a huge learning experience. You've got to learn protocol, etiquette, the things you do and don't do. When the royals get into a helicopter or a car, for men it's quite easy, but for a woman it's about keeping the knees together. It takes a lot of practice. You can't flash your vagina." That last sentence I added just to explain.
Yes.
Meghan, if she's going to be photographed a lot sitting on a stage, will possibly adopt the Duchess slant, which is when you slightly angle your legs rather than cross your legs at the knee. If you sit on stage with hundreds of photographers and you cross your legs at the knee, they can see straight up your skirt. Don't want that. Earlier this year, Meghan opened up about her relationship with Harry for the first time in an honest interview with Vanity Fair magazine. She told them, "We're a couple, we're in love, this is for us, it's part of what makes us so special. But it's just ours. We're happy." And everybody's talking about this being a real love story. "We were quietly dating for about 6 months before it became news. And I was working during all that time. The only thing that changed was people's perception. Nothing about me changed. I'm still the same person that I am. I've never defined myself by my relationship." So we'll see how long this lasts. I mean, good for them. I hope she's happy. I hope Harry's happy. Why the hell not?
But I think if the royals really want to be progressive and then bring in some common blood, they should just get Fergie to be the go-between. So she can be like the liaison.
Sort of like a...
like what not to do as a royal. Or how to continually siphon off the booze so you can actually fathom these people and how they live.
She's got some experience in that. Remember, she had her toes sucked by some fat American businessman.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know though. What you wouldn't suck Fergie's toes?
I wouldn't suck anybody's toes.
Come on, Ben.
Truth be told.
Ben, hello, come girls. On. Suck my toes.
My toes sucked by that man over there.
I feel ill.
But I have to say, just for little dweebs like me, this is actually all inspiring. Not the toe-sucking part, but the fact that I don't know.
Listen, these people are not exemplary. Do you remember that phone call that Charles and Camilla made to each other in the 90s? I don't know if you'll remember this, Sia. Let me explain how it went. It went like this.
"Really like to be your tampon."
Mm.
Charles. "Yes, I'd like that very much. In, out, in, out. In, out and round about. Oh, Charles."
No, really, that's how it went. These are people who, what, we're looking for to them to be an example?
Yes, because they know how to sit in front of a crowd without the crowd seeing.
The queen is one thing. She's never put a foot wrong. That woman is just basically, you know, Jesus' mother Mary couldn't have had a better record because she didn't last as long.
Oh, wow.
Think about it. What's the queen done that's embarrassing? She occasionally gets a bit of a croak in her throat when she's talking about
my anus horribilis.
But otherwise, nothing. Nothing. Always does the right thing. It's a hugely difficult standard for the rest of them, especially those wayward children of hers, to keep up. Mm. I mean, Charles spends more time talking to plants than he does to people. He does. It's true.
Also,
Andrew's so busy making dodgy business deals with the most wicked of Saudi princes you could possibly imagine. Edward, God knows what Edward's doing. He's probably doing odd jobs around the palace at the moment, painting windowsills and things because he can't find real work.
But also, that butler, I mean, why are you making it sound as if sitting down
is hard?
Is a talent.
Yeah.
It's not. Because right. If it was that difficult, Sia, every time women sat down, you'd be seeing up their dresses and skirts without fail every single time.
Do you ever think about it, Mubs?
This is not a talent. This is not something that you need to practice. Women walk in dumb shoes called heels every day of their lives. You think they don't know how to sit down in a skirt?
What's wrong with you, moron?
You have to know how to sit down in a skirt while waving at the perfect angle, while your head is tilted
perfectly.
Yes,
because obviously that is by far the most challenging thing a woman could ever be expected to do in her natural life.
Yes, because of course women, that's the hardest thing for them. No? Bearing children and doing that.
Just fuck off, man.
Wait. Rape update. Rape update.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, wait. Oh, rape this is important. Oh. All right, go.
That show, the 70s show?
Yes.
No.
You remember the guy who was like the stoner who had the beard and the sort of glasses and the curly hair?
Yes.
No.
So basically not Ashton Kutcher.
Not Ashton Kutcher, not Fez, not Topher Grace.
What was his name?
Let's look it up on IMDb, Ben, while you can.
Well, his real name is Danny Madison.
Oh.
That 70s show name was, I don't know, is it important right now?
I don't know him.
Well, he's the guy that's not.
I've got to have a picture in my head of who it is. Is he the victim or is he the aggressor?
He's the rapist, Gareth.
Oh, Jesus!
This is a more conventional rape. He hasn't been spacey.
Who did he rape on that 70s show?
Well, no one on that 70s show has come forward, but he has allegedly raped four women who have come forward, and these four women have been discredited by
Kevin Spacey,
the Church of Scientology, because this man is a Scientologist. So, yeah, these criminal investigations.
Didn't
we
talk about this just the other day?
We did, Gareth. That's why I'm bringing it up now, because a lot of these stars are finding refuge in the Scientology kind of thing, which, if you mention names, well, I don't know, just hypothetically say like Tom Cruise or John Travolta, then this guy's in the same path. So, early 2000s is when the raping was happening with Danny Madison.
Masterson.
He was Stephen Hyde on the show.
Stephen.
Yes.
Otherwise known as Hyde.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah, he ended up living in the basement in that show, which may have been a precursor to his creepy ways.
Yes, okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yep, but he's hiding behind Scientology. Because Scientology, that's what they do. I reckon there's like packages in Scientology, because you know you got to give them money.
Yeah.
And if you give them a certain amount, they make rapes go away too. I don't know, I'm not part of Scientology. This is me stretching a bit. But, you know, you put one and one together in a couple of these stories, it's not too much of a stretch.
Mm. Wow. That's horrendous. On that 70s show.
He's also currently in a Netflix series.
Uh-oh. Netflix having a shitty time right now.
Huh. Look, like, if you have even stolen a lollipop when you were 12 years old from a random town.
They're going to out with it now.
In Arizona.
Right. Someone's going to be talking about it on social media.
Whoa.
Basically, look, here's the deal. If you've been a douchebag, it's going to come out.
So,
if you've treated people badly, it's going to come out. And that means almost all of us have to think about the worst things we've done and wonder if they came out tomorrow on the front page of a newspaper, would we be okay with it?
Mm.
Now, that's an interesting question. Most embarrassing thing. I mean, you might not have committed a crime. You might not have been a sex pest. But if the most embarrassing thing you've done ended up on the front page of the newspaper tomorrow, would you be okay with it?
No.
No. Nobody. Yeah, Nobody's no, gonna. If no, you say yes, no. Then why aren't you telling us right now what it is?
Yeah, no. Because also, remember, like we discussed a while ago about secret sex? I think that would be my worst.
So, yeah.
Like if the identity is revealed of, you know, some of these people.
So. Yes, yeah.
But hey, I can justify that. Hey, they laid it down, so it was fine.
Wow. Hey, apparently Jacques Poe got a call last night, an anonymous call. If you don't stop writing about Zuma, we will kill you.
Oh.
Yeah, that's to be expected.
These guys are getting scared.
That's not cool.
But it's too late to say that now. He's already written the book.
Yeah, exactly.
It's already been published. It's been sold.
You idiot. You're meant to be state intelligence, which means you're meant to know about these things before they come out. Not afterwards and then try to change things when everybody's already read the stories, you douchebags. We've got the world's dumbest intelligence services, really. I mean, it was all under that David Mahlobo, who's now Minister of Energy. And he, by the way, says, oh, nuclear is the only way we can make sure that we have a prosperous future. What? Nuclear will provide jobs. Well, what?
Who's we? His cronies.
Yeah, I know. It's great for him. Nothing good for us in all of this. Nothing. All right, let's wrap it up with the news for this hour, and then we get into our discussion with Penina Fenster next. She's, of course, the editor of Glamour magazine, and there's loads of stuff that we want to talk to her about, including the fact that she was the judge at the SA Style Awards. Sia, you went to those.
Mm-hmm. Everyone you looked loved. Very swanky.
Yes. Let's get into some unnews. Here's what you need to know. Cyril Ramaphosa's days in the ANC may be coming to an end. He recently named those he would like to lead the country with, a transparent move that was met with much disappointment from the ruling party. Such organization and foresight has no place in the ANC, which does suggest that Ramaphosa is actually anti-ANC. In other news, Henry Van Breda's case suddenly has more holes in it than a homeless man's socks, but he doesn't seem too fazed. Actually, he's getting rather bored with all of this, just wants to get back to being an emotionless trust fund kid and be left alone. He is getting his defense team to try and pitch this in legal speak, but his lawyers are naturally a little bit nervous about this approach. And finally, Alistair Coetzee chose not to consult with Rossy Erasmus ahead of the Irish test this weekend. Many are wondering why he didn't bother tapping into his wealth of Irish experience, but Coetzee disagrees with the importance of such a meeting. He said he and his management drank a few Guinnesses at dinner on Monday night. That's all they needed.
Cliffcentral.com.